Today, we're going to take a little different aspect of relationships, and we're going to talk about commitment and just how important commitment is. In Instagram, I know there are reels, right? There are reels, R-E-E-L-S. But that's not always real, is it? You know, you see somebody's posting. How many know we can do some editing, right? And we can do some stuff and all, because you didn't see the fight before that reel got published, did you? You didn't see them saying, hey, kids, you're not going, I'm going to knock you into tomorrow, okay? If you don't, I don't know what all might have gone on, but things maybe went on. But then everybody got it together for the video, right? And the clip and the pictures and the different things that were there and all. Because we only see what people want us to see too often. And here's what I think, and in setting this up today, that's not how we want to live, is it? We want real, R-E-A-L, real relationships. We want to be able to be real in our relationships. Can I hear a good amen today? Is that right? So I think we want to get real. And here's the good news about this, is Jesus actually prayed for it. He prayed for us. Think about that. Jesus prayed for us to have real relationships. As a matter of fact, the author John of the book of John, what we call the book of John, the writings of John, the apostle who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, was there with Jesus in his ministry. He later wrote down the things that he knew from Jesus' life. And he put down one of the last prayers that Jesus prayed. And he said, when Jesus prayed, he prayed for relationships. Check this out. In John chapter 17 and verse 22 is where we're going to get started today. Here's what Jesus prayed. I have given them the glory, he's talking about his followers, that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience, check this out, such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus said, I want to pray for them to walk in such unity that the world will know that you're real, God. Think about that. In a world that is so divisive, has anybody been outside lately? Right? In a world that's so divisive, and it almost looks like some people just look for things to be divisive about. And in a world like that, in a culture like that, Jesus said, you know what? If you walk in unity, if you walk in a commitment level to each other that's like my Father and I, you know what? It'll reflect my Father to the world. People will notice. People will check it out. People will think there's got to be something different. It'll give the world hope. In a world of fake, people want real relationships. And so how do we do that? Well, here's the other good news, is I think this place is one of the best places to find it. I think the Church of Jesus is one of the best places to find this kind of love and unity, this kind of commitment. Because I know when we started our church, we used this slogan a lot, and it still pops up frequently, and it's this slogan, Crossroads, come as you are. Come as you are. And it was real easy to say that 25 years ago because we were the only church not wearing a tie, I think, in Hendricks County. And we were in a movie theater, and we were just like, hey, come in your cutoffs and whatever that looks like and all. Just come, wear something, but, you know, you can just come as you are. And so we meant that. And that meant, too, come with your baggage. Come with your mistakes. Come with your history of whatever that looks like. And you just come. And you know what? As a result, we have for 25 years attracted people who are not like Jesus, but want to get close to Jesus. And isn't that the way it was when Jesus was on the earth? Do you notice that when you read about Jesus? The religious people said, hey, these people shouldn't be around you. And Jesus said, no, they're exactly the people that need to be around me. And so we need help with this so we can do this right. And if we do it right, it'll be a witness to the world. But how many know we struggle with commitment? We do. For example, men, we can't commit to a TV channel. Are you with me on that? You know, does your wife sometimes say, just hand me the controller? Just, you know, can we land on one channel? You know. And ladies, perhaps you can't commit to a restaurant to go to, you know? And I don't know how it works at your house, but it can work like this. It has been known to work like this at our house, all right? It's my wife will say, you decide. And then you know where this is going, right? And then I'll say, well, how about this? And she'll say, no, not there. So somebody the other day, I heard this. I haven't tried it yet. But they said, y'all try this. You ask your wife, where do you think I'm going to pick? And then when she answers, you say, exactly. That's it. But we all have commitment issues. Single people, right? Singles, married, divorced, dating, widowed. We're not alone in this. But just like last week when we talked about families, how that God offers fresh starts. Last week, if you weren't here, it's so powerful at the end of the service. This is one thing about, I appreciate being able to be online and being able to minister online and all that. But I'm just telling you, there's something special about being in the house. There's something powerful about being in the presence of God. And last week when we had altar time and people came down, I mean, it was powerful. And you just can't hardly manufacture that in another setting. But anyway, what I said to everybody who was responding to that is, hey, you may not have been the dad you should have been. You may not have been the mom. You may not have been the kid. You may not have been the uncle, aunt, whatever, your grandma, grandpa, whatever. You didn't always get it right and whatever. But hey, that was yesterday, right? From this day forward, why don't you be the man of God, the woman of God that God wants you to be? Come on, somebody. Because God is the God of fresh starts and new beginnings. I want to say that about this today. Maybe you've not gotten commitment right before. But today, God offers a fresh start, a new opportunity from here on. So I don't know where you've been in your past and whatever, but here's what I do know about God. God wants to do two things with your past. He wants to redeem it, and he wants to use it for his glory and his honor. And how many know he can do that because he's done it in your life, right? He's able to do it. So here's where we're going today is I want to uncover commitment. Okay, I want to uncover commitment. And if you're taking notes and maybe you need to, here's the first thing you need to write down if you're uncovering commitment is behind happy is hard work. Okay, behind happy is hard work. Because Listen, happiness is not finding the right person. Happiness is being the right person. See, because here's something I've noticed with happy couples. It's two happy people coming together. Yeah, you don't see a happy couple and one of them's miserable as all get out, but the other one's happy. No. No, what you find are two happy individuals, two happy people that come together. In other words, don't expect somebody else to complete you. In our culture, we talk about, oh, I need to find somebody who can complete me, you know. And here's the problem. When a half person gets together with another half person, that's only one person, right? You need a whole person and a whole person to come together. How do you do that? How do you really get complete? You really get complete when you discover Jesus in your life. Come on, somebody. When Jesus comes into your life, now all of a sudden I'm not trying to get somebody else. See, this puts too much pressure on somebody to be your savior. Somebody to be your all in all. That's too much for a human. That's too much for a fallible person. But when we look to God and say, God, I need you in my life. Oh, that's what I was looking for, right? That's the fulfillment that I need. He completes us. See, and you can find this even like in life group. I hope you're in a life group. If you're not in a life group, it's our small group ministry of the church where we gather in homes. And if you're not in one, you can go to the Next Steps room after service today and somebody will help you to find a group. But here's what happens if you come to life group saying, hey, I want it to all be about me. That sucking noise is that person draining the life out of everybody. Come on now, right? They're just sucking the life out of everyone that's there. But instead, listen, I'm trying to help somebody. Instead of going thinking, what can everybody do for me? What if you said, hey, in spite of what I'm going through, in spite of my challenges and my difficulties, what if I go with the attitude of what I can give into this group? You know what God does with that? When you give out, He begins to pour in. And He pours in, and He pours in. How many have seen that in your life? Where as you give out, God pours even more into your life. So, in marriage, if your marriage isn't working, let me ask you a question. Are you working on it? Are you working on it? See, because the marriages that are working have people working on it. So singles, listen up. Don't get married if you don't want to work on it. Okay, I'm just telling you. If you think, well, if I find the right person, it'll all, don't do it. Nope. Nope. Don't do it. Because if you're not going to work at it, it's not going to work. All right? Behind the reels of romance that we see, there's a reality that we need to get into, and there's things that you have to do to get to that point. One of the best things that Rochelle and I did as we were rearing our daughter and all is date night. Date night. We would allow our daughter to go to grandma's, and when she went to grandma's, it was date night. And let me tell you something, if you get married, you need to continue dating your spouse, okay? You need to continue dating them, because if you don't, the devil may find someone who will. And too many men, unfortunately, can stop pursuing. I'll just pick on the guys, okay, because I can do that. Just stop pursuing. Like, I got her. Put a ring on it. You know, done. No, that's not real love. Did you know that? The Jesus kind of love is that passion takes pursuit. Because that's what Jesus did. He pursued you when you weren't pursuing him. Hello? He was after you and fighting for you. So you need to fight for your marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, check this out. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives. To which some of us guys would say, hey, I do that. I love my wife. All right, this verse isn't over yet. All right, hang on. You love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here's the kind of love you need to have is you would do anything for this person. You would do it because, come on, that's what Jesus did for you, right? He did anything, everything he could do for you out of love for you. He went to the cross for you. So here's the application is, are you doing that for your spouse? And here's what maybe you need to look at is your calendar and to see how much of a priority your spouse truly is. All right, here's the second principle is behind arriving is endless abiding. All right, you see couples that maybe look like they've arrived, and you're like, hashtag relationship goals, you know? I mean, that's what I want. I mean, they epitomize what I would like to have. And so Jesus says, well, how we get to a spot where we look like maybe we've arrived, and maybe you've seen that in Christians. You know, you look at a person, you think, oh, man, they're way better Christian than I am. You ever said that about somebody? Like maybe you've even heard somebody pray and you're like, yeah, I don't pray like that. Or I don't do church like that. I'm not as good as they are. And here's the thing about relationships is we have to get into this abiding that Jesus talks about. John 15, verse 4. Jesus said it this way, and I changed this up in the first service, so I'm just going to do it starting out with you guys. Every time you see the word remain, say the word with me, okay? So here's how it goes. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Do you think Jesus is trying to say something here? You know, I mean, he's saying to us, hey, you need to remain. Now, what's this word, meno, in the Greek? What does this original word mean besides just remain? It carries with it the idea of steadfastness. In other words, this is a person who doesn't move. This is not a person who, depending on the weather, depending on, you know, how things are going and whatever, they're just steadfast. You can count on people like this. And Jesus here is saying the secret to a fruitful life is to abide. Let me say it like this. Until you abide, you will not thrive, okay? And so, because what happens is, if you don't have this abiding factor to where you're settled, like a rock, you're settled, then here's what you do. You look for the magic somewhere else, right? Because you're unsettled. So here's what you do. You're like, okay, this church just doesn't get it for me anymore, so I must need to go to a different church. Or this job. Oh, this job. I need a new job, because if I had a new job, then it'd be okay. You know, or this relationship that I'm in. I need a new relationship. Or this city. I think it's this city. I need to move somewhere else, and then I'll be happy. See, and let me just clue you in about finding the magic somewhere else. There is no magic. Okay, there's no such thing as magic. And here's the other problem, is when you do this, the problem with moving and changing and whatever is you take you with you. Do you ever think about that? Like you know, when you jump from relationship to relationship, or this job, or oh, I'll move here, or I'll do this, you know, and you're always looking for something out there. And all, here's the problem. You take you with you. And in our culture, we call that the grass is greener mentality, right? Because we think, oh, over on that side of the fence, then that's where it is. And here's the problem in our culture today with the greener grass theory, and that's been around forever, okay? Here's the problem is the grass is right here in your hand. You can compare your life to so many people. Think about it. I didn't know what happened today in China when I was a kid until 10 o'clock at night when the news came on. Does anybody remember that? Because I didn't know what else went on until 10 o'clock. And here's the thing, is I know it right now. I can get alerts. I can get notifications. I can know somebody new just accepted my invite or whatever, you know? And here's the problem with that, is then many people just scroll through life. They just scroll through life. They just go from church to church. They go from job to job, from city to city, from hookup to hookup, from relationship to relationship, all in an attempt to look for greener grass. And here's the problem. Often what we're looking for is the path of least resistance. See, because I think if this is a good relationship, it'll be easy. You know, it'll be like fairy tale. No, a fairy tale is a fairy tale, all right? There is no magic in it. And so what you've got to do is often what a great relationship looks like and what it's spelled like is W-O-R-K. Okay, it's work. It's commitment. I like what Erwin McManus said. He said, great love can only be known with great commitment. That's the only way. You know, Casanova was a guy in history, and he was supposed to be a real guy that's in history, and supposedly, I don't know, he had like 100 women that he loved. Think about that. Would you rather be one of 100, or would you rather, well, let me say it this way. Would you rather love 100 women 1% or love one woman 100%? How many ladies know the answer to that one, right? You'd rather be the one. And so where does the grass grow? Come on, we know this. I've got a neighbor that knows how. They got an irrigation system. And my grass is brown. And I look over and theirs is green. Because they know if you water it, it will stay green. And I'm telling you, where you are, it can get better if you water it. It can happen under your feet. Here's the next principle, is behind the finished product are faithful patterns. There's faithful patterns. Single people, listen to me. Don't look for potential, look for patterns. Okay? Don't look for potential, look for patterns. Because the current patterns are the best predictor of future outcomes. If he's generous now, he's likely to be even more generous later. If he's bad with money now, he's likely to get worse later. If he doesn't treat his mom well now, he probably isn't going to treat you well either. If he can't treat the server at the table with respect, what's going to happen in your house? See, potential is meaningless. Yeah, you talk to people and they say, oh, he has such potential. Trust me, he just has so much potential. But patterns determine the end product, right? Let me read it for you. In Galatians chapter 6, and I love it in the Message version. Here's what it says. Galatians 6, 7. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, he's at work in that other person's life, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. See, what he's saying is your future is not determined by potential. Your future is by what you're planting. And so, in other words, you can't plant corn and expect green beans, right? And here it says you can't, you know, be sowing selfishness. You know, if he drinks a lot already, if she drinks a lot, if he flirts or she flirts a lot, if he or she jumps jobs a lot, if they're unstable now, listen, they're sowing seeds. So don't just look at potential, look at patterns. You know, have you ever wanted to quit? You ever wanted to quit? I think all of us have wanted to quit, but let me tell you some good reasons to quit. Is if he or she are hitting you, if there's verbal abuse, if there's endangerment of your life. And on a serious note, I just want to quickly say, we have partners out west of here in Danville that we partner with that specialize in that and providing a safe place for people in those kinds of situations. If you are in any kind of space like that, let us know. Just whisper to somebody today. Just tell somebody on the down low. It doesn't matter. And we'll connect you to Sheltering Wings, or you can reach out to them directly, and they can help you in that situation. And you need to get help if that is your situation. But I'm talking mostly to people who have just gotten good at quitting things. See, and think about it. When you're sowing, here's what you're trying to sow is you're sowing convenience. You know, I want to sow convenience, but I want to reap great. You know, how many know the farmer has to work hard in the planting season? You know, they have to get out there and do things and whatever pattern you're developing in your life right now, and I don't care if you're 16 or 26 or where you're at in life, the patterns that you are developing in your life right now, you're going to carry into your future life. So you need to be careful. You're going to bring those with you. Levi Lesko, I like how he said it. He says, the ways you let in become ways you're set in. That's good. See, in other words, practice makes permanent. Not practice makes perfect, because if you practice bad, you're just going to stay bad. Does that make sense? Right? If you're practicing bad, you're not going to get better. So what practice does is it makes permanent. And so what is important is that you're practicing well, you're doing things well. Galatians 6:9 says it like this, let us not be weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So the greatest marriages, friendships, relationships of all kind are not built on potential. They are built on repeated patterns of commitment. Now, how do you know how you measure up? It's if you make a commitment to something and then you wish you didn't. Okay? You know how it goes. You make a commitment to something and then you're like, oh, something better came along. And you have some of your most creative moments in that time. And you think, now what could I say to this person that would make them believe that I should get out of this commitment? And so you think up these things. And here's the problem. The problem is not the excuse that you give to get out of the commitment. The problem is that you don't feel convicted about it. See, the problem is that the longer you keep doing that, the easier it becomes. And you may think, well, it's just a small thing. Well, so is any seed that you sow. It's small, but it grows, and it brings a harvest. There's a weightiness. How many know there's a weightiness to marriage, you know? And when you got married, those of us that are married, hey, I hope you felt the weight of it. I felt the weight of it. I mean, in a Terre Haute church altar, I made some pledges and commitments. How many know rich or poor, sickness, health, better or worse, and in between, right? And so I made that commitment. I made that pledge. And so it's a big commitment. And so if you're single, listen to me. If you're not ready to say, let's get married, then don't tell that person you love them. I know that sounds big. But listen, if you say, I love you, and you love them like Jesus says he loves, then you're willing to commit. You're willing to commit. Let me read another passage for you because you may not believe it yet, all right? John chapter 14, verse 23. Here's what Jesus said on another occasion. He says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And here's what we'll do next. We will come to them and make our home with them. Do you see the progression? Commitment first, and then intimacy second. So you make the commitment, and then Jesus says, and then we're going to move in with you. And the world tells you the opposite. See, the world says the opposite. See, men, I saw the other day, give up sex or give up love to get sex. Women will give up sex to get love. And the culture, see, that's the pattern of this world. And the problem with the patterns of this world, they become the pathways of your mind. And then your thinking begins to get off. And how many know God's thoughts are better than your thoughts? Just could be any day his thoughts are better, right? Any day, every day. And he offers something better to us. Like, he's not trying to hold something back. He's trying to put up guardrails so you don't go off the edge. Here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to prevent baggage in your life. Because how many know that some of your decisions came with baggage, right? And he wants to protect us from that. If you're teaching your 15-year-old or whatever to drive, you know, getting them ready for 16 and to drive, you say, hey, the paint means something, right? The paint is there for a purpose. And if they say, well, nobody's coming, yeah, but that doesn't mean they won't come. That's not a good habit to start, to go over the edge there. You should stay within the paint. And I'm just telling you, God put some things down so that we could stay within the borders so that we can have the best life that we could possibly have. And it would be baggage free. How many are glad for that, right? It's available to us. So commitment, here's the thing about commitment. I'm going to wrap this up. God started it. Here's what your Bible says, that God so loved you that he gave his only son for you. See, when you weren't worth it, it seemed. When you were at your worst, he loved you. In other words, God didn't say, now, if you get your act together, okay, don't be coming to me like that. But you get your act together, you just go and get your act together, and then I'll receive you. How many are glad today that on your very worst day, that no matter how low you have sunk in poor decisions and whatever, no matter how much baggage you have invited into your life, there is a Savior who says, come to me, and I will receive you right now. Doesn't make a difference what you've done. Doesn't make a difference where you've been. You just come. I want you to come. And Jesus even told a story about a son that came home again after he'd done all these things, and his father ran to him, and he says, that's your father. How many are thankful today that God makes a commitment to you, right? Oh, let's just praise him for it. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are committed to us, that even when we fail, even when we falter, you are a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping, vow-keeping God. And today, we want to be more like you. Because Jesus, you prayed, and you said, if we'll get this right, if we'll get commitment right, it'll show the world that we're different. It will give evidence to the world that God is in us. And so, Lord, help us with that today. Maybe you're here and you just say, Craig, I want my life to be an example of Jesus. I want my commitments. I want everything about me. I want to reflect him to this world. In a culture that lacks commitment, I want to be different. I want to reflect Jesus at school. I want to reflect him at work. I want to reflect him in my family. I just want to reflect Jesus everywhere I go. If that's your prayer, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Yeah, just come on, church. Yeah. Lord, we commit to you. You have committed to us. Every day, you're the same. You never fail. You never falter. And God, you're always, always there for us. May we be more like you. So that in a culture that's so divisive, that lacks commitment, that's wishy-washy and fuzzy lines and all of that, God, may we be different. May we live higher than that in the way that you have purposed for us to live, so that others can be drawn to you. May our lives, may our marriages, may our singleness, may all of our relationships, may it reflect you so that others will be drawn to you. Some of you, God's drawing you right now. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, I have made some bad choices and bad mistakes. But I want you to know today, just like I said earlier, you can bring everything. You can just come as you are. You can just come with all your hang-ups, all your hurts, all your habits, everything, just all that stuff. Just bring it to Jesus. Just bring it to him, because I'm telling you, he loves you. He cares for you. He wants to bring his presence, his power at work in your life. And he has so much that he wants to reveal to you. And it can start today as you make a fresh new commitment to him. If you're here in this place and you'd say, oh, I want that. I want a relationship with God. I want to renew my commitment to God today. I want him to know that I'm serious about this. I commit to him. Will you just raise a hand all over this room? Yeah, just raise it up. Yeah, just raise it up today. There's a bunch of you. God bless you all over the room today. Just hallelujah. God's moving in this place. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We'll begin praying for you. Everybody, pray this prayer after me. I'm going to lead out a prayer, but you pray it after me, and let's make a commitment to God today. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his commitment that I was saved, that I am forgiven. So today I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. As much as I know how, I commit my life to you. Start working in my life today like never before, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made a commitment. Oh, come on, heaven's rejoicing right now for that. Listen, on the screen are next steps that you can just text from wherever you are. And text the next step that applies to you, or on the back of the connection card that you are going to turn in a few moments, there's a box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ, and another one that says, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. And whichever one of those that you did today, you can just put it on the card, and we'll be praying for you, believing God in your life, to work in your life. And also, like I said earlier, there's a Next Steps room right across the hall, and someone will be glad to talk to you about your next step. Our next step right now is we're going to take communion, all right? And I love taking communion, especially after we've talked about commitment, right? Because this is an example of Christ's commitment to you. Jesus instituted this. And what he did on the night he was betrayed, go ahead and open up the side that has the bread there. Here's what he did. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said to them, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take and eat the bread together. And we thank you, Lord, for your brokenness, your commitment to be broken so we could be whole, so we could be healed. Go ahead and open up the side with the juice. And what he did next is he took a cup, and he lifted it up and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's take and drink the cup together, remembering the Lord's blood that he shed for us. Now let's just thank him for forgiveness, will you? Just, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We're forgiven, we're washed, we're cleansed, we're redeemed, we're free.